Have you booked your audition yet? After a 10-year absence, Canada's Got Talent is coming back to television. Recently, we had visitors, in-laws, who liked the show, so I watched it a few times. The America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent television phenomenon has been very successful for a long time now. One thing that I noticed, though, as I was watching, is how the celebrity judges and the audience members, they work so hard to find new ways to express how amazed they are by the various acts. The reactions to magicians and comedians and dancers and singers is really a big part of the show. Of course, the performers often deserve accolades for their talents. I suppose that many of the people who saw Jesus would encourage him to audition for Israel's Got Talent. I've become quite interested in the words that our Bible translators use to express the reactions to Jesus. And I can imagine using the internet to look up words. The people were surprised, bewildered, stunned, shocked, startled, stupefied. I like this one, flabbergasted, or just plain amazed and astounded. I wonder if the people then had the same mentality as we do in our culture. They love being entertained. Don't we love being entertained? I get that. I do too. But I watch sports highlights to get my amazement fix. But the unclean demon that Jesus cast out of a man was none of those. While the people were amazed, the demon was terrified. The key element here is that the unclean demon, who is a servant of Satan, the devil, is the only one in the synagogue at Capernaum who knows fully who Jesus is and what he is capable of doing. It's ironic, isn't it? The recognition of the identity of Jesus is central. Do you remember Sunday before last, so what's that, 9 days ago now, we heard Jesus preaching that his disciples must eat his flesh and drink his blood to have life. The people were not amazed. They were not amused either. They were rather disgusted, and most of them went away. But when Jesus turned to those who were left to ask them if they were going to leave disappointed in his teaching, Peter spoke up. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and to believe that you are the Holy One of God. So isn't it interesting that in Luke's gospel today, we hear that a demon, a servant of Satan, identifies Jesus exactly the same as Peter did, but with an entirely different attitude. Peter and the others cling to Jesus in trust, even without fully understanding what he was talking about. The demon runs away from him in terror because he does understand what is happening, even leaving the one that he had possessed, it says, with no harm done at all. And what is happening that the demon notices? Well, the authority of Jesus is evident in both word and deed. They are amazed at him when he teaches in the synagogue and also when he casts out the demon. Both are signs of God entering into human history to take it back for the kingdom of God. Both are signs of the victory of God, which is being initiated with the incarnation of Christ. His teaching and this exorcism are demonstrations of the authority over Satan's kingdom by Jesus Christ. Now that, I would submit, is something to be amazed at. St. Paul knows exactly what Jesus Christ is all about. He describes to a persecuted church at Thessalonica that the day of the Lord is coming. This day will be one of judgment for those who reject Christ and one of great victory for those who trust in him. Jesus' miraculous exorcism of the demon takes place literally on the literal day of the Lord, the Sabbath. Now that's real authority. That's something to be amazed at. The prophets all foretold the day of the Lord. Human societies, with their vain entertainments and their hatred of the truth, will be overcome by the kingdom of truth and love. So St. Paul declares that because of Christ, Christians need not fear. Christians know about this great universal judgment, yet are Oftentimes these days, especially in those days, we're worried about physical survival. I think we can relate to this after 18 months, how fear has dominated everything about our lives, how it is seems like the only message in the news. But St. Paul says in that day, and he says to us today, stop worrying. You are children of the light, not of darkness. Don't you know that? Don't you remember that? Fear belongs in the dark. Stay close to Christ, who is the light. Peace and security was a slogan of the Roman Empire. Just let Rome govern you and everything will be fine, they would say. However, that kingdom that some and many turn to is very fickle. No matter what the kingdoms of the earth promise, they can, in a moment, bring the opposite. You know that we have elections coming up, two different ones, and there will be many promises, won't there? And we should care and we should vote. That's our civil duty. But our peace and security is never in the government as children of the light. Our anxiety over political and social developments will take away from our trust in the Lord. In fact, I believe that they have in many ways in our culture. So what can we do as children of the light to oppose the darkness of fear and hatred? Well, we can turn to Christ again today in his victory over death as the reminder that he wants to cast out the demons in our own lives and our own hearts. His death is for the forgiveness of sins, yes, but much more, it is the reorientation and the restructuring of our entire existence by submitting to the authority of Christ. One of the things that has happened to us over time, without doubt, is that we have been separated from each other. Zoom, I think, has kept us in touch, but it isn't enough to make us truly one. And so I suggest to you today that let us, as the psalmist says, be strong and let your hearts take courage. Today also let us do as St. Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up. And so I would conclude by saying, let us be amazed and astounded at what Christ wants to do in our hearts at this very moment in our lives. Let us make this our day of the Lord.